This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Many college graduates are looking for work, while many employers are looking for help. So how to bring the two sides together? In many cases, the answer is an apprenticeship, which can be a path to a variety of different careers. Joining us to discuss apprenticeship programs are Gateway Community and Technical College President and CEO, Dr. Fernando Figueroa, and Greater Cincinnati Apprenticeship Council Director, Chris Friedel. And Dr. Figueroa, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thank you
for inviting me. And Chris, good to see you too. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Chris, where did the idea for apprenticeships come from?
Well, I think one of the aspects they talk about is all the way back in the Egyptian era, when everybody's kind of seen, you know, National Geographic and the pyramids. But, you know, way they used to, mortalize their history is to draw drawings about their history on the wall. And so the scribes would teach individuals how to do that, to carry that tradition and that knowledge in the future. So it kind of is true to today, is the same thing as somebody with a skill and knowledge and ability to teach another individual to carry that on.
So it goes that far back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. In today's job market, is this an idea that you're starting to see catch people's attention more and more?
Well, you know, the formalized apprenticeship opportunities has been around since the 1940s. And in an industry like ours, as far as construction, this only makes sense, you know, to teach somebody the hands-on day-by-day instruction and earn while you learn, too. You know, back in the years and years ago, you might get a small stipend for helping, or you might have a ability to live with that skilled person like a blacksmith or a baker or something like that. But now people make good wages and good benefits while they learn, and they get, you know, the academic side of it also.
And Dr. Figueroa, how do apprenticeships fit into Gateway's programs?
Well, Gateway is focused on work-based learning, and so looking at opportunities for our students to have the workplace environment and or the actual experience in the workplace as part of their learning process, so that when they get their credential and they're working and they enter into the field, that they already have experience with what to expect, the kind of people you're going to meet, the kind of ways that the organization is run. I think the advancement with the formal apprenticeships like we have with Kentucky FAME and the advanced manufacturing fields is that we have something which says the company will hire the student as an employee, and then it's part of a work-learn experience that's formalized where they work in Kentucky FAME. They 2 days of two full days, 8-hour days of learning, followed by 3 days of being on the job site. And so really bringing those two worlds together, I think, has been the advancement in formal apprenticeships through education.
How many people realize that this pathway to a career is out there, Chris? I mean, is it something that people are just catching on to?
Well, I've been told over the years that it's one of the best kept secrets. You know, I've done a lot of outreach and with community organizations and high schools, and every year it's educating a new crowd about the opportunities.
And I think also that, you know, it's now that we're dealing with the middle skills gap and we're dealing with the challenges that we have in finding talent and workforce, that we're going back to tried and true strategies. But instead of just allowing them to kind of happen organically as they have in the past through the work pathways, now we're saying that we want to commit, you know, public education, and even some of the privates are also thinking about, okay, how do we really strengthen this connection between the educational enterprise and the workplace?
So what kinds of jobs can people go into? What kind of career paths can they take through apprenticeships?
Well, through our programs, in advanced manufacturing, it's everything from manufacturing engineering, let me get that out, to manufacturing industrial maintenance, and also in energy technologies. Those are some of the more formal pathways. We usually think of it in terms of like the companies that they would work with. And, you know, through our Kentucky FAME, we have, you know, Mumbia, Bosch, L'Oreal, Hahn Automation, and we've added Steinkopf Molding and Nucor and Zotforms, among others. So it's you know, thinking about the big players in the manufacturing field that are coming together and saying, yes, we're willing to invest in education to provide us with the talent that we need.
And Chris, what's the spectrum of jobs that you can go into through a program like yours?
Oh, it's a vast opportunity. You know, basically, I'm the assistant director of the IBW Electricians Apprenticeship, and you know, also the director of the Greater Cincinnati Apprenticeship Council. And there is at least 22 apprenticeable occupations within those trades. I mean, you're talking everything from electricians, plumbers, pipe fitters, carpenters, on down the line, have an apprenticeship here in the Greater Cincinnati area. Those apprenticeships have a contractor force of anywhere between 30 to 40 to 50 contractors, where they solely use their manpower. So these individuals that are looking, the type of person that likes working with their hands, there is a pool of employers out there where, with the Greater Cincinnati Apprenticeship Council opportunities, there's probably 400 positions open up yearly in the various trades. So just in the electricians ourselves, each year, other than the recession era, we had at least 75 to 100 opportunities each year to go out to our 45 contractors.
Mm-hmm. What's involved in an apprenticeship? I mean, is there a certain time frame you're an apprentice, certain tests you have to take? What, mm-hmm. How's that work?
Well, so mainly the way our opportunities work is that you have to be a high school graduate or have a GED. Primarily, right now is the best time to apply for most apprenticeships. And those individuals that are interested, even all the way to high school seniors, so current high school seniors can apply all the way to somebody that is a spry, whatever that age is, that feels that they can do the work. So, we have a website, earnandlearn.com, where you can go to see all the different opportunities, call the different apprenticeships, find out what their processes and procedures are, and find a career that would fit you. And we're talking about, everybody wants to talk bad about jobs or jobs versus careers. This is one of the few left career opportunities that you can basically start right out of high school without going to college.
And our site, where you can get more information about our particular apprenticeship programs, is gateway.kctcs.edu/apprentice. And you can get the full listing of the programs as well as the job opportunities available to us. Something else I do also want to mention is that, when we talk about apprenticeships, we're also, in our conversation, we're including all kinds of work-based experiences. So internships, co-ops, and of course we have our programs in nursing and allied health that involve that, and practicums in the professional setting, so that, again, our students have a sense of the reality of what they're going to be doing in the workplace, rather than simply having it all be abstract knowledge or classroom time.
Right. And if I could say on top of that, the opportunity is exactly an earn and learn opportunity. A lot of people don't realize that. They kind of mix it up with an internship or a shadow, where an apprenticeship, you're actually working for an employer. They're paying you on the job while you're there, and then you're learning hands-on experience, but then you're also – there's an academic side to each one of those trades in the apprenticeship.
How many women are going into these programs?
Well, the last 2 years, we've had the most women sign up and get into our apprenticeship than we've had ever before.
And we're also seeing it in our world. We actually had some professionals in the engineering and manufacturing fields, some women that wanted to get together and help more women get involved. So we developed a Raise the Floor program, which is a mentoring program for women, and particularly single women with children, to help them, get a better life.
How much, beyond just learning a job skill, Chris, how much are people learning habits and skills that will help them with their career along the way, mm-hmm. life skills, that kind of thing?
Well, one of the unknown things about apprenticeship is, a lot of people ask, well, what about a mentoring opportunity? And an apprenticeship is exactly that. It has a built-in mentorship opportunity when you're working side-by-side an individual that's been in the trade for 10, 15, 20 years, and you're just brand new. Then that individual is going to mentor you and help you and answer questions and show you the right way and wrong way, as far as being successful.
Show you the ropes, be on time, be exactly. organized, that kind of thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like being the skills parent, as it were, for someone. And we've all had that. And I think that, the advantage of the apprenticeship program is there's so many things that are formally designated in the program. Like, you can earn your way get an associate's degree that leads to a great career in advanced manufacturing and construction without any of the student debt that we've heard so much about. That is truly an amazing opportunity for our community.
In the same way in construction with our apprenticeships with the skilled trades, when you're going to apprenticeship class, most of those classes are you have college credit attached to them. So somebody coming out of our electrical apprenticeship, not only are they getting a career where they're making over $60,000 a year, they're getting health coverage, retirement plans, and on top of that, they get 58 college credits that with about 7 general education classes, they can have an associate's degree under their belt also.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. So what's the scope of apprenticeship programs in Ohio and Kentucky? How many are out there, and how much support does the state give these programs?
Well, I think the numbers I'm not really sure about as far as how many apprenticeship programs themselves. You can find that information on the Department of Job and Family Services website. Apprentice Ohio is their new tagline. They used to be called the Ohio State Apprenticeship Council. But I think the last time I seen the number, there is over 19,000 apprentices in the various apprenticeships through the state.
Mm-hmm. And from, you know, our perspective in Kentucky, Governor Matt Bevin, of course, has said that he wants Kentucky to be known as the manufacturing and engineering capital of the United States. And so there's been a lot of interest in his administration and working with the community college system, and as well as the universities, in identifying formalized relationships that are already in place, identifying best practices, and then how do we scale that throughout all of Kentucky?
Yeah, Kentucky launched the Kentucky Trained, Kentucky Built program, mm-hmm. I believe about a couple of years ago, 2016. Yeah. How's that been at promoting apprenticeships in the state?
That's been wonderful in terms of workforce, you know, just workforce training in general, and then gathering interest and developing interest in the trades or professions, for lack of a better word. I think that there's still some work to do on focusing on the message of apprenticeships themselves and getting so that it is understood, because this works a lot really well for the larger companies, and they tend to, you know, really see the value of it. It's getting the middle-sized companies and the smaller-sized companies and provide them an opportunity within the state alliances of advanced manufacturing and other companies and sectors to be able to say, okay, we want to be able to have it so that there are apprenticeships by region and not necessarily by company.
Chris, how's Ohio done as far as promoting and supporting apprenticeships?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, Apprentice Ohio is really starting to get out in the field and promote apprenticeships. I've been in this part of the aspect of my career for the last 10 years, and I can be honest, apprenticeship is a new sexy term that's being used, and everybody is interested, or the best thing since sliced bread. So the interest is there, the opportunities are there, and you know, I just think that from several years back, not having the excitement, but now I'm getting calls every day from counselors and from teachers and going and doing speaking events and talking about the opportunities.
How do you think the United States is doing as a whole compared to other countries in terms of promoting this?
Well, unfortunately, I've never really been to other countries and seen how it operated, but I think that we're probably, just like anything else, sometimes behind the times, but I think we got some good models of the how the opportunity should be from the other countries that have them.
Yeah, I think Germany is always held up as the gold standard, right. But they're also running into some issues that we want to be careful of as we look at apprenticeships. Is in Germany, they're concerned that they've thrown so much into kind of set programs that there's not enough of that innovation gene in the workplace. And I think that as in the United States, one of the advantages we have is our freedom and ability to be entrepreneurial and develop different kinds of ways of working. So some sort of blending of the two, we have that opportunity that, say, for example, others that are well established in the apprenticeship model may have some struggle flexing into the 21st century.
Chris, how tough is it for companies to commit to registered apprenticeship programs? And do the ones that offer these programs, do they feel like they get their money back out of them later on?
Well, in our industry, you know, there is each trade has a group of contractors that employ the apprentices or the journeymen on the job. So those contractors decide to be a part of that organization, partner with unions, and have a training arm. So, you know, most of our apprenticeships and all the trades have been around for about 125 years. And they see – those contractors see the value of having that training opportunities, you know, set up. So there's a couple different sides that you look at the apprenticeship opportunity from the contractor side, always having a workforce that's been trained and ready to work on the jobs for the customers. But you also have the individuals that are looking for the education and the opportunity to be apprentices. You know, you're talking a range from high school seniors all the way up, you know, to anybody that's went to college and, you know, it maybe didn't work out for them and looking for the ability to get into a career. And, you know, even if individuals went to college first and found out, you know what, life happened, this isn't for me financially, whatever, this is a great backup plan. Don't think that, you know, just because you went to college and you weren't successful that your life's ruined and you got to go to a part-time minimum wage job. There's opportunities out there for you to be successful in apprenticeship.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've in our country, we've done swings. You know, we've gone from, you know, very strong trade programs and apprenticeship programs, you know, in the 40s and 50s. And then we went through this, you know, everybody needs to go to college for, you know, four mm-hmm. years. And that's the doorway to careers. And I think we're swinging back now to, you know, let's help people find what they do best, you know, and then let that be the determining guide to where they can go and how they can express those talents in meaningful work. And then what's exciting about the opportunities now is that there is so much emphasis on the creativity in the trades, and it's not just a rut job. It's not filling a cog in a machine. There's a lot of creativity involved. There's a lot of problem solving involved. And we were finding in our experience, individuals that went to the traditional four-year came back to Gateway to one of our professional programs and went from, you know, languishing to thriving and very excited. And I had a parent that lives in my neighborhood in Union, Kentucky. He saw my shirt, and of course I always wear the Gateway gear, and he said, you know what, your program in advanced manufacturing saved my family because my kid was depressed, didn't know what he was going to do next, and he found your program, and now he's excited. He's working at one of the companies. He's making good money, and he has a direction in his life.
When you talk about advanced manufacturing, too, how you define advanced manufacturing?
Oh, gosh, it's like logistics and IT. I mean, it's a really broad umbrella for multiple types of things. And I'm still in learning mode in terms of all the different varieties. But you've got, you know, in companies that are part of, you know, building pieces and parts for a larger supply chain. Then you have those who are like Hahn Automation that actually works on designing the machines based on design challenges that a company gives you. Then we've got food manufacturing, which I never thought of until I got here. And, you know, companies like Wild Flavors and all of the elements dealing with kind of just kind of putting things together and developing a product that then either goes to an end user or goes to the next you know, member in the chain.
Yeah, so it's not the loud, messy workplace that people used to associate with machining.
No, I mean, I had a great conversation with one of our students when I first got here, and you know, we talked about how he would program the station. And I said, well, wait a second. I thought it was just one size fits all. He said, no, every technician develops their own process. And so it really is being more like an artist and finding the thing that works for you. And so the technology allows us to be much more flexible, much more creative. And that, to me, is the message that I've been passing on, is that when we think of all the professions, it's about bringing that creativity and that talent together, and that's the magic.
And, you know, on the side of apprenticeship is that, you know, everybody looks at society and maybe corporate America as the upward mobility. You know, I start out in corporate America and I work my way up, I get a promotion, and next thing you know, of course, the kids think from one day to the next, I'm CEO. You know, that doesn't happen that quick. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize in the skilled trades apprenticeships, you know, yes, today you're a first-year apprentice and you're starting out doing the more hand and labor, you know, type work on the job. But as the apprenticeships progress, you know, you're showing your skill and ability and you get more responsibility. And next thing you know, you're finishing with your apprenticeship. Now you're a foreman. You're in charge of some people on a job. Now you're a general foreman. Now maybe you're a superintendent or one of these days, you could be a company owner. You know, we have the large amount of our population, the baby boomers that own companies that are going to want to retire, and they're looking for the next generation of somebody to run and own their company. And, you know, with apprenticeship, what a lot of people don't realize is that your raises are based on the job training hours. So instead of waiting for a employer or somebody to notice you or possibly give you a raise, depending on what that is, your raises are based on the job training hours. So whether your apprenticeship is a 3, 4, or 5 year apprenticeship, you will know based on hours that can go back to a calendar, and you can pretty much know when you can afford that better vehicle, that new house, you know, so on and so forth.
And Mark, we're living in an age where a 12-year-old can come up with a way to sense cancer in a human body, you know, just with, you know, just looking at YouTube and learning certain things about what he wanted to learn about. That these professional careers are not limited as they used to be by what slots were available. Now you can develop your own intellectual property, you can develop an app, you can develop anything that can then allow you to be more entrepreneurial. then and be able to distribute that worldwide just using the computer. And I think that that's really the opportunity and the exciting thing that's happening is that all our old notions about what work was and what a job was and the types of jobs, those are all going away. I mean, we really need to be able to match knowledge with activity in such a way that we're engaging our talents. And that's the thing I always come back to is like, if people are engaging their talents, then our world's going to be a better place to live. And apprenticeships is a really excellent opportunity for individuals who this is attractive to engage and become great members of our community through that process.
Bob joins us now at 513-419-7100. Hi, Bob.
Good afternoon. First of all, I'd like to thank Dr. Figueroa for his leadership at Gateway. He's done a fantastic job. And I just want to ask this question. I understand that there are impending budget cuts coming from state government, and I would like to ask, what can the business community do to support these programs that are being so impactful? And then the second question, I guess, would be is what could the average person in Northern Kentucky do to advocate on behalf of Gateway and the fine work they're doing?
Well, thank you, Bob. I really appreciate the vote of confidence, and we're certainly doing everything we can to make ourselves of value to the business community and our community at large. I think, you know, again, as you're connected to your communities and connected to your local leadership and your local legislators as well as your state legislators, and if you have national influence, that would help nicely as well. But really, you know, getting out into the importance of community and technical colleges in the talent development pipeline, and not just as a sole sector that's working on that, but our collaboration of working with alliance sectors that have developed, you know, these apprenticeship programs so that we can plug in and be part of an active part of that ecosystem. So I think talking up to every person that you know, just the importance of having a talented workforce and the importance of, and I'm going to be selfish, the Gateway plays in that. I mean, if you're on the Cincinnati side of the river, you can talk up both Cincinnati State and Gateway. And then there are universities, some of the universities, Thomas More College just announced a partnership in biotechnology. NKU has been doing great work with, you know, business informatics and data analysis, that if we're talking about it and we say, you know what, this is a value in our community and something that we are willing to invest in, I think that we will begin to really turn the dial on this idea that somehow education doesn't have a purpose or doesn't have a clear goal. I mean, we do, and we just need to get the message out.
So how does someone get involved in an apprenticeship program? Is it just a matter of finding the right program, signing up for it, Chris?
Yeah, there's multiple avenues that bring people to the idea of apprenticeship. You know, our best promotion of apprenticeship is usually our own membership, word of mouth. You know, people from your family and your friends and your inner circle see that, you know, you have a good career, that you have, you know, the ability to make good money, that you have a house and a car and everything that we want in society. And so I think that's our biggest promoter is our own membership.
And I'm gonna add a story I got when I was in Corpus Christi, and there was a lot of interest in developing talent and apprenticeships and process technology, working with the refineries. And you know, you had recruiters and you had people with pamphlets and everything talking about it. It wasn't until you had the 19-year-old that came in the really cool tricked out truck that everybody in the high schools were like, okay, how did you get that truck? And then all of a sudden, everybody was interested.
What about employers? What advice do you have for them if they want to develop an apprenticeship program, Chris? And we've got about a minute left here, so.
Okay. Well, I think there's a big push with the Apprentice Ohio about making the process easier and them providing more education. So I think that any employer that's interested in doing that. But, you know, there's great organizations out there, especially in the skilled trades, that already have an apprenticeship in place. And we've been doing it for, you know, generations and generations of success of people going through the process and earning while they're learning, being able to get that education, stepping up financially. I mean, I have one of the best jobs in our industry watching individuals come into our apprenticeships, either unemployed or underemployed, and watching them step up education-wise, financial-wise, and 3, 4, 5 years, you know, they're coming to graduation with their spouses, driving their new vehicles, and having a new house. So,
thank you so much, Chris, and thank you, Dr. Figueroa.
Thank you.
Gateway Community and Technical College President and CEO, Dr. Fernando Figueroa, and Greater Cincinnati Apprenticeship Council Director, Chris Friedel. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition. The producer was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Josh Elstro was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney.